So we're talking about and studying this question, do you believe God? That's what this study is all about, is believing God. As we begin looking at this, we've talked about the idea there's a lot of different things like magic that people believe in. We ask that question, do you believe in magic? Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in ghosts? Okay, do you believe in destiny? A lot of topics that people have that we ask that question, do you believe in this? And including the question where people ask, do you believe in God? And generally, as we've said, when people ask that question, they're basically talking about the idea, do you intellectually acknowledge that God exists or that there is a higher power, those kinds of things. Well, there is a necessity for us to believe in God, but this study is focusing on challenging us to kind of raise that up a little bit and not be content just simply to believe in God, but rather answer this question, do you believe God? There's a big difference between those two, okay? We can believe in God, that He exists, and all of those kinds of things that go with that. But the real issue is, when God tells us something in His Word, do you believe Him? Amen. Okay? Again, a lot of folks would answer this question in the affirmative. Yes, I believe in God. But the problem is, most don't believe God. Okay? They're believing God, believing in God, but not believing God. The reason that I know that is because if they truly believed God, their behavior would reflect that belief. And what we see going on around us in the world is a lot of people, again, you know, statistics keep coming out about the same, about 80 to 85% of people in America believe in God. Okay? Well, they don't believe God because if they did, we wouldn't be having so many problems that we do in this country. Okay? If people truly believed God and what He said. A lot of the issues that we have going on would cease to exist if people truly believed God in what He says in His Word. So, here's the challenge question that I've been issuing every week. How would your life change if you were to stop just believing in God and start believing God? What would change in your life? We're looking at some of the promises that God has made, the statements that God makes to us, statements that are a fact, things that God says, here's what's going to happen. Okay? How are you responding to God's Word? There's not really but two ways to respond, either in belief or disbelief. So this is all about answering that question, do you believe God? Basing this whole study on this statement about Abraham, when God called Abraham to leave his home country and to go to a land that God was going to give to him, and all the promises that God had given to Abraham, and the Bible tells us that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So, this morning our topic, in asking that question, do you believe God, and what He has to say about judging others. Okay? Perhaps one of the most misunderstood commands in all of the Bible is the one from our text this morning. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Okay? Folks are using that statement, out of context, by the way, okay, to argue and to silence anybody who would dare correct their behavior. You're not supposed to judge me. How dare you judge me? The Bible says, do not judge lest you be judged. People throw that out there like they're at a parade throwing candy out to the watchers of the parade. Okay. And the way that it is being used, I think, shows more than anything that people really don't understand the context that Jesus made that statement in. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Does the Bible really say don't judge? In other words, are we just not supposed to judge at all, period? If you go by what people, how they use that, then that's what one would believe. But what does the Bible really say? about judging other people. Here's a statement, a comment that I found on here. I thought it was pretty interesting. I think it's mostly true here. This person comes to the conclusion. Many people know two Bible verses. John 3:16, which they think says all you have to do is to be saved is believe or accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and Matthew 7:1, though they don't usually know where it is found, okay? They'll quote it, but they don't have a clue as to where it's found, which they think says, don't judge me, and therefore covers anything else not covered by the first passage. So these are the only two passages that a lot of people rely on. John 3:16, that means if all I do is believe what? In God, okay, and I'm saved. And you're not supposed to judge me. And life is good, right? And that's the way a lot of people are living out their quote-unquote Christianity. So what does God really say in His Word about judging others, right? But then as we look at what He says, here's that question again, do you really believe Him? Okay? And if you do, how is that going to change your daily life? Here's a question. Now, I've got it up here twice because the words that you emphasize in this question really alters the meaning of this question altogether. All right. So first of all, look at the top one, where someone would say, who are you to judge? And again, that's the way that most people would ask this question, right? You say, who are you to judge me? And that usually comes again when they're doing something they shouldn't be doing, and most of the time they know they shouldn't be doing it, and somebody points that out to them, then right away, who are you to judge me? Some people even say, who left you in charge, or who died and left you in charge? That kind of thing. Yeah, you know, because you've either said it or you've had somebody say it to you, right? Okay, so that's how we do it. Who are you to judge? But what about the second one? The meaning changes when we ask it this way. Who are you to judge? Okay? Who are you to judge? That's what we're going to look at this morning. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul begins like this. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. Now, would you say that in order to not associate with immoral people, we would have to make a judgment on whether somebody is immoral or whether they're a moral person? Wouldn't you agree with that? There's a judgment that's involved in that. I need to make a judgment. Is this person moral or are they immoral? If they're immoral, I'm not supposed to associate with them. Okay? Isn't that basically what you understand from this? Okay, so there's some clarification that goes back to that question we just asked. Who are you to judge? Because here's what he says next. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and the swindlers or idolaters. In that case, look at this, you would have to leave this world. And what is he saying? Well, Paul basically is saying the world is so immoral and corrupt that if you had to not associate with anyone who is immoral and corrupt, you wouldn't be able to associate with anybody outside of the church. You'd have to leave the world, basically. So that means a lot of folks that you might buy things from, the stores that you would otherwise go to, you wouldn't be able to go to because a lot of those are led and run by immoral people. Okay? A lot of the places that you go, the things that you do, if he wanted us nobody that's immoral, you wouldn't be able to, again, anybody except anybody that's in the church. And only, by the way, hear me now, only those in the church who are not immoral. Yeah, I said that. Okay? We cannot, in other words, assume that just because somebody goes to church, that they're not an immoral person. You see? So here's a situation where Paul here is telling us we need to make a judgment, don't we? And that judgment involves a who. Who are we to judge? Okay, well, certainly not those people out there in the world. Look at what he says next. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man is called a brother, be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one do not even eat. This is the King James translation. It's a little bit kind of weird there. No, not to eat. It's kind of weird, but that's how the King James is translated. But basically it says don't even eat with them. So what is he telling us here? Okay? That if there is someone who is, what we just talked about, someone in the church, a brother or sister in Christ who is any of these things, they are living an immoral life, he says, don't even eat with that person. Well, does that not require a judgment on our part? Yeah. Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely it does. And it's a pretty severe judgment, isn't it? That if there's someone who is living in any of these ways, we're not even supposed to eat with them. Look at what he says next. For what have I to do with judging, look at this, outsiders? Is it not those inside the church you are to judge? Yeah. Basically saying, forget about judging those outside the church. That's none of our business. Amen. Okay? But we are to judge those inside the church. Those who are calling themselves brethren and are not living the way they're supposed to, we're supposed to judge them. Look at the next verse. Verse 13, he says, God judges those outside. Okay? Don't worry about them folks. God's going to judge them. But you purge the evil person from among you. Now, let's make sure we understand something here. This is not where Paul's not calling upon us to go around looking at each other and going, oh, you messed up. Oh, you did this. Oh, you know. That's not what he's talking about here. We're not supposed to go around trying to pick, and we'll talk about that more here in just a minute when we get to our main text, okay? As to why we're not supposed to be doing that. But it's very plain from this text, or at least it should be, that Paul is referring to, we've got somebody who calls themselves a Christian, they consider themselves a brother or sister in Christ, and they're living an immoral life. And by the way, the word that is used there in that text, in some of your translations says, sexually immoral, it is the word fornicator. That means, okay, for those of you who don't understand, all right, I'm going to get on my soapbox a second here, okay? All right? That is having sexual relations with someone you're not married to, period. Now, we can in our society call it we're having an affair or we're living together or all of those nice ways that we try to, you know, put that. It's fornication and it's sin. It's immoral. And God says, if there's a brother or sister doing that, you need to confront them with it. And if they don't stop, have nothing. Don't even eat with that person. Amen. And folks, that's been a big problem in the church. You see? But that's the kind of thing that he's talking about here. But we understand that, yes, indeed, we are to make judgments. Okay? Now let's go over to Matthew chapter 7. Let's talk about specks and planks. Okay? And here's that statement, that text. Judge not, lest ye be judged. We need to understand this is not a prohibition on all judging, but it is a warning on the standard that you use when you're judging. All right? Look at what he says next. For in the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now that is a statement of fact, is it not? Again, the challenge and the question for us is, do you believe God when He says this? Okay? For if you truly believe Him when He says this, you're going to be really, really careful about passing judgment on other people. See? Because you know you're going to be judged by the same standards by which you are judging someone else. He goes on then to give this teaching. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? Okay? So here's the situation. You got somebody's got this huge plank sticking out of their eye and they're concerned about this little tiny speck in their brother's eye. And what does Jesus call that kind of a person? He says, you hypocrite. You hypocrite. That's what this is all about. That's the context of Matthew chapter 7 when he says, judge not lest ye be judged. Okay? He says, you hypocrite. First take the plank or the log out of your own eye, then you can see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So here, again, this is a teaching not about, you know, no judging at all. You're not supposed to judge. It is a teaching about hypocritical judging. And a warning that whatever measure we use to judge people, God's going to use that same measure to judge us, the same standard. Okay? So, here we go. The mote or the speck. Some of your translations use the word mote. Okay? Can you see the mote up there? Just barely, right? And that's the point of it. Why are you focusing on the minor problems of a brother when you have major problems going on in your own life? That's essentially what Jesus is saying. But isn't that so often what we do? That's where we, you know, we look at what somebody does and and all the time we got major problems, major things we need to fix in our own life, and we're running around trying to fix one another's. Be careful. Because that standard is going to be used on you. Lucy says to Charlie Brown, tell me something. Are there more bad people in the world or are there more good people? Charlie Brown says, who's to say? And who's to say who is bad and who is good? And Lucy's response is, I will. And isn't that so often? I mean, in a practical way, isn't that what we oftentimes do? We're the ones who are willing to decide who's good and who's bad. Again, the warning that Jesus gives. By the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. Somebody said this, I don't know who it was, but I think this is true. Don't judge someone just because they sin differently than you do. Okay? Because the reality is it not, how many of us are guilty of sin? Everybody's hand should be up, by the way, okay? Yeah. Because we all have sinned. There is none of us that is perfect. And there is a whole bunch of us, including, you know, this guy right here, that I got some beams that I got to deal with. Okay? I'm just being honest. I'm willing to help anybody to deal with whatever specks or motes you got in your eye, but I know at the same time I got some beams I got to deal with. Okay? we need to be very, very careful is what Jesus is saying about judging one another. Romans chapter 2, verse 1, Paul basically there expresses the same sentiment that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7 when he says this, "Therefore you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself." Let that sink in for a moment. Why does he say that? "For you who judge, practice the same things." In other words, you're going out here pointing the finger and judging others, and you're guilty of doing the very same things. Notice what he says here. You are condemning yourself when you do that. You see, this whole judgment thing is a really serious issue. Amen. And I'm afraid that so often we don't take it as serious as we need to. People just kind of spout off that, "Don't judge lest you be judged." And we need to understand what God is saying here. And we need to decide whether we're going to believe Him or not. When He says you will be condemned, you're condemning yourself when you do that. Do you believe Him? If you really do, then you'll be really, really careful about the judgments that you make of others. Now, let me talk about another thing here. I don't know why that came up there. That shouldn't have come up there yet. Digging up the past. The reason I say this judging thing is really serious is because we have an awful lot of this going on right now in the world, all around us. Okay? I mean, if you think about it, I mean, all you got to do is turn on the news for about 2 minutes and you'll see and you'll hear all this judging going on to people. Okay? And one of the things that I really want to mention about this and bring it that we've got to be really careful about is you hear people making judgments about someone else, about something that they did 20, 30, 40 years ago back in their life. So what they're doing is they're digging up that person's past. And basically what they're doing is they're trying to maybe keep that person from getting a job or a position in the government or whatever. You know, That's just rampant in our culture today. We don't like this person, so let's see what kind of dirt we can dig up from their past to keep them from getting, you know, whatever. And you start going back and throwing all this stuff out there. Well, again, be careful. Because here's what happens. When you dig up someone else's past to find dirt on them, then you open the door to your own past. Okay? So you got somebody that, you know, maybe there's something going on that, you know, got you upset or whatever, and now you go, "Oh, they did so and so." And we don't have to think too far. It could be, you know, our spouse or, you know, whoever. Parents, kids, you know, our relationships. We start digging up the past. Well, go ahead and do that. Again, remember, by the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. So you open up the past for your own sins and all of those previously forgiven sins. We talked about a couple of weeks ago about forgiveness, right? All those previously forgiven sins, they're all revisited. Why? Because when you're digging up the past on someone else, then all of a sudden you are no longer forgiving that person for the sins of their past. Remember in that study, again, do you believe God? If you forgive someone their sins, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive their sins, and it doesn't matter whether they're yesterday or 40 years ago, then your Heavenly Father will not forgive you your sins. So we need to be really, really careful that we don't fall into this trap. And so... You know, we're watching the news, and they're talking about, you know, this person or that person, and somebody's digging up the past, and what we're doing is cheering them on. Right? "Oh, yeah, that's right. They did that. They're terrible." Aren't we just as guilty as the person who's making the comments? We're supporting them in that? Cheering them on? Yeah. We need to be careful. I don't want my past dug up. I want it to stay forgiven. Because I'll admit to you, there's some ugly in my past. Okay? How about you? See? That's one reason why I don't want to dig up anybody else's past. Matthew 7, verse 6. After Jesus talking about the planks and the specks and so forth, here's what he says. And this is a passage that confuses a lot of people. We need to understand this. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs.
Well,
if you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Well, what is Jesus talking about here, and what does that have to do with judging other people? Well, it has everything to do with judging people. But again, we need to heed the warning. Be careful. Do not cast your pearls before swine. In other words, don't give the gospel to those who would abuse it and you. That's what he's talking about. The pearls, the pearl of the gospel, okay, it's precious. And so don't give it to dogs. In other words, those who would just tear it apart, don't give it to pigs, to swine. They'll just tear it apart. They won't appreciate it for what it is.
Amen.
In that way, are we not to judge where we share the gospel? In other words, if we're going to listen to what Jesus is saying here, don't we have to make some judgments about where we're sharing the gospel? Now, the answer to that is yes. But again, remember the measurement. What is the measurement that you are using? If you're simply looking at someone, their outside appearance, and you're going, nah, they're not interested in the gospel. Because maybe they got tattoos, and maybe they got these piercings all over, and they just don't look like good gospel material. So I'm not going to waste my time. Be careful. Be careful. Because you're judging by mere outward appearance, and is that what you want God to judge you by? You see? But I think more properly it would be, you know, maybe you've tried to talk to this person a couple of times, and they are just, you know, so anti-God that, you know, they're not going to pay attention, they're not going to listen. Then stop wasting your time.
Amen.
Go share the gospel with someone that you have more of a chance of them paying attention and obeying it. But you know this person has no interest, they don't care, then stop wasting your time with them. I have an uncle who used to come and visit with us every year. Really nice guy. Okay? But he made it very clear early on. He really wasn't interested in listening to a lot of preaching and things of that nature. It's just, you know, God just was not something he was interested in. So I didn't waste my time. You see? I think that's what Jesus is talking about here. But again, remember, we've got to be careful of the measure that we use. You see, that statement and that teaching goes right along with something else that Jesus said when he taught his disciples, when he sent them out to teach the gospel to people and go out and to share the gospel. Here's what he said. Whoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet.
Amen.
So basically saying, you know, don't waste your time sharing the gospel with those people anymore. They're not going to accept it. You move on. And that's basically what he's saying here. So, again, does that not require us to make some judgments in those circumstances? Yes, it does. But we need to be careful about the measure or the standard we use when making that judgment. Just because we don't like the color of somebody's hair okay, or the piercings or whatever it is. Just remember, if that's the standard you use, that's what will be used against you. James chapter 4, verse 11. James talks about another important aspect of judging, okay? Do not speak evil of, look at it, one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Okay? Now again, where's James focusing this on? On one another. You know, forget about the world, all right? God's going to take care of that. That's His job. That's far above every one of our pay grades, okay? So let Him take care of that. He's talking about inside. And then even given this warning, we need to be really careful about how we do that. And I think within the context of that, this is the kind of thing that I think fits this and what he's referring to. That oftentimes what happens, and we see this in the church all over the place, we draw lines of fellowship, okay, where the lawgiver did not draw them. In other words, and again, he's talking about in the context of what James is talking about is the law. We're following the law. He's talking about the law of Christ here. That we look over at these folks over here and say, oh no, they're not doing that right. We can't fellowship with them. They're not our brethren. Well, we don't agree with them on this issue. And we start drawing lines of fellowship over all kinds of different issues, and we start making judgments on who's a Christian and who's not. And we won't fellowship with them because they do this or they do that. That's what he's talking about here. Okay. And again, we need to be really, really careful that we don't become the lawgiver and start deciding who's saved and who's not based on what they're doing or not doing, when those things, for the most part, have nothing to do with the Scriptures. They're areas of freedom that God has given to us. I'm talking about things like whether or not you can have a water fountain in the church building. Yeah, churches divide over that kind of stuff. You see? Ridiculous kind of things that we draw lines of fellowship because you don't believe the same way we do. Or how about race? You know? Well, yeah, let's divide over that. Because we all know that there's two separate places in heaven, right? One for the blacks and one for the whites, right? So we draw lines of fellowship. So we're going to have a black church and a white church. I'm getting us all on a soapbox again here, okay? It's things like that that God looks at and says, who made you the lawgiver? God didn't say anything about those things in His Word. And so therefore, neither should we. You see? That's what he's talking about. Don't start looking at your brethren and saying, oh, because they don't agree with you on this or because they're different this way or that way, that we can't fellowship with them. You start doing that, you're putting yourself in the place of being the lawgiver. And that is for one person and one person alone, and that's for Jesus Christ. You see? And that's what he's talking about. So we need then to beware of those Christians whose faith is based on their own ideas and feelings and what they think is right, not on God's Word. We've got to be careful of that. A lot of that goes on. Challenge is for us to choose to believe God instead of our feelings. Our feelings will get us in a lot of trouble. Okay? We need to choose to believe God. So, how will believing God when it comes to judging other people affect your daily life? Okay? What would you change or do different in order to truly believe God on that issue? How about your relationships? How would they be different in your life? Perhaps maybe would there somebody that you would have a relationship with now that maybe you weren't doing it before because you stopped judging other people? God is asking you this question, do you believe me? What he says about judging other people. God is the only one that is authorized, the only one who is able, capable to judge any of us for good or for bad in that regard. God has already judged those who refuse Him, those who do not belong to Him, will be separated from Him for all eternity. That's His judgment. But the great thing is that He's also said that He loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for every one of us. So what I want you to know, and especially for anyone that's here this morning, is not yet a Christian. You've not given your life to Christ. You are still lost in your sins. And God will judge you accordingly. The great news is that if you're ready to make a commitment to give your life to Christ, to have Him be your Lord, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from Him. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. You don't have to wait. And maybe there's someone here this morning who is a Christian, but maybe you had some problems with this whole judging thing. And you realize that there's some things you've got to get straightened out. You have an opportunity to do that. If you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with either Dale or Ray, they will both be in the back to receive you back there. Jerry and I will be up front to receive anyone if you'd like to come up and talk with us up here and to share a prayer request or whatever with the congregation. Wes has a song that he's chosen as an invitation. We're going to stand together and sing that song. And if we can serve anyone in any way, it's a great opportunity for you to let us know. Let's stand together and sing.